The content of this program is intended for blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from July and August edition of Essence Magazine. Money and Power. A dynamic duo is a business partnership for you. Learn the secrets of successful alliances from siblings, friends, and married couples who have budding companies together. The risk taker. So let's face it, running a business alone is tough, never mind with another person. Yet it's possible, but if the partner is a sibling, friend, or spouse. There are 2.2 million business pairings in the United States, according to the nonprofit group Tax Foundation. And reportedly, more than half of those enterprises ultimately fail. Wondering how to be among those that are flourishing. For starters, you and your associate must implement some solid rules of engagement. If you're dreaming of taking on a venture with someone close, follow this advice from a few thriving entrepreneurs on how they've made it work. The Married Bootstrappers, Arsha and Charles Jones. In 2011, when Arsha and Charles Jones launched Capital City, a specialty foods manufacturer that sells a condiment with a cult-like following called Mambo Sauce, they knew that keeping family a priority was non-negotiable. We're both committed to making the business a success, so even if we have a disagreement, we know we have to make this work for us and our children, says Arsha, age 40. She handles the marketing, sales, and social media, while Charles, age 44, oversees logistics and manufacturing. We have a mutual respect for each other, meaning there are just some things you won't do or say, because you know those actions will affect your partner, Arsha adds. Keys to success. Agree to disagree. Constant bickering doesn't work for the Joneses. We don't always agree, says Arsha. We try hard to maintain a certain level of peace in and outside the office. Balance family and business. Starting out, there was little time and money. We sacrificed time with our kids because we knew it would pay off in the end, says Arsha. I give them a sense of ownership. We gave them jobs that match their personalities. Make time for yourself. Because they work together all day, the two prioritize downtime spent away from each other. We both have fulfilling lives before we got married. Starting a business shouldn't change that, says Arsha. The Soaring Siblings, Erica and Andrea Hamilton. Only 17 months apart, Erica and Andrea Hamilton co-founded the Theory Communications, a thriving PR firm in Atlanta. Are more like twins than traditional siblings. My sister and I have always been close, so our chemistry and bond are airtight on all levels, says Andrea, age 29. Our business is successful because we know who we are, says Erica, age 30, chimes in. When you are aware of yourself and your skill set, you can properly apply yourself to every aspect of the business and be an asset to your partner. With a client roster that includes Los Angeles Clippers guard Lou Williams, Grand Hustle, legendary rap artist T.I.'s record label, and beauty maven Ming Lee, and revenues for 2017 reaching $320,000, the siblings are well on their way. So some of their keys to success are leave favoritism at the door. It never works when you treat family like family in a professional setting. The lines can easily blur, which leads to laziness, arguments, and a lot of personal conflicts spilling over into the business, says the siblings. Let outsiders in. You have to acknowledge you can't do this with just one person, says Erica. The moment we began to trust others and expand our team was the moment our business multiplied. And then finally, push part personal issues. The sisters say they have an unwritten rule: as soon as they get into the work environment, put a smile on. The business besties lack, hopefully I'm pronouncing this correctly, Lakshima Marie Ferber and Andrea Foster Moore. So after connecting in a Facebook group for women in 2015, Lakshima Ferber and Andrea Foster Moore became fast friends. She was one of the first people to reach out to me outside of the group, and we clicked, says Ferber, age 27. She's a senior managing partner of LMF Consulting Group, a digital marketing agency. Ferber had been running the boutique agency out of her Atlanta home for 5 years, but she needed a partner to oversee operations. Enter Foster Moore, age 37. She's a serialpreneur. I owned a successful daycare and cleaning business and was intrigued about the possibility of building out the business online. So we joined forces in 2016, says Foster Moore, the company's COO. The two say their collaboration works because they are in tune with each other's strengths and weaknesses. So some of their keys to success are: discuss other topics. The women insist on weekly girlfriend chats to spill the tea about their favorite Atlanta housewives. Talking business 24/7 is boring and repetitive and puts a strain on the friendship, says Ferber. Accept your differences. Unlike Foster Moore, Ferber prefers a more formal work environment. Entrepreneurs are used to things not being as structured and planned, but you also think outside the box, says Foster Moore. They learn to compromise. Protect your friendship. To curtail conflicts, they have agreed to split the workload and handle certain programs individually. They also realize that there are days when circumstances don't allow them to vent as friends. The best apps for entrepreneurs. So you can download these 5 apps to streamline your business and boost productivity. Number 1, Brain.fm. It uses artificial intelligence to find music that will help you focus, relax, or sleep. Camcard. It's a photograph and business card uploaded and transport the info into your mailing list all in one app. LastPass. With this service, you can securely manage passwords and conveniently share them with virtual employees. PandaDoc. You can use this document management platform to draft, send, track, and sign proposals electronically. And then finally, Slack, which is the email threads for amateurs. So with this app, you can seamlessly communicate with your team about the next big project. Every message in Slack is indexed and searchable, and its free plan allows you to access the most recent 10,000. So some of the 8 common mistakes entrepreneurs make are: 1, failing to execute a partnership agreement. So every agreement should include the term the agreed upon capital contributions and the process for admitting new partners or voluntarily withdrawing from the partnership, says Deborah Sweeney, CEO of mycorporation.com. Number 2, blurring the lines when friends become clients. Always use contracts and invoices and make it clear that you are now operating as client and owner, not BFFs. This shuts down the possibility of friends asking for a hookup. Number 3, incorrectly setting up bank accounts. Require 2 signatures for every check or transfer of funds, advises Gary E. Midkiff, the former owner of a technology consulting company. This way, there's no doubt about how the funds are being allocated. Number 4, choosing the wrong business associate. Consider whether this person is honest, responsible, and business savvy, says Jessica Childress, managing attorney at the Childress firm in Washington, D.C. Number five, letting someone else chart their vision. Jenny and Rufus Triplett, co-founders of the multimedia company Dawa International in Atlanta, say people have approached Jenny about going solo. One individual even offered her thousands to speak by herself at an event, but the triplets weren't having it. They have to see the vision as inclusive of both of you, says Jenny. Number six, not being discerning with family employees. Guy and Shireen Wood, owners of the Harlem Haberdashery fashion boutique in New York City, offer this advice. Only hire family members who have a skill set that would qualify them for the job. You don't have to feel obligated. Number seven, misunderstanding the legal forms involved. In a limited partnership, the limited partner is not typically liable for the company's debt, but may still own a part of the company, says Childress. On the other hand, a general partner is responsible for all company debts and the daily operations of the business. Number eight, discussing work matters off the clock. Once we go home, it's a no business zone, says the Woods. Sometimes you have to kindly remind yourself or spouse that this is your personal time. And so those were some good, common mistakes listed. On to our next section, money and power. Small biz success, the risk taker. As a child, Angel Rich wanted to end poverty. Then she created an app to help make that dream come true. So at the age of 25, Angel Rich had a successful corporate career and cushy income and owned two cars. Yet she knew something was missing. During a trip to Africa, she discovered that the void was and realized her purpose. I needed to quit my job to be able to provide equal access to financial literacy across the world. Determined to make a change, Rich drastically modified her lifestyle after going hungry. Now, as the CEO of The Wealth Factor, the 31-year-old helps others climb their way out of poverty. Credit Stacker, her first game app to come to market, has boasted 250,000 downloads and educated people in 60 countries about their finances. Here, the DC native who has been hailed as one to watch explains how she made it happen. So in this particular article, Essence is asking her some questions and then she's responding. The first question that was asked is, what was the motivation behind Credit Stacker? And her response is, when I looked around, I felt as though ignorance was heightening worldwide, or at least throughout America, as a result of video games. Health, wealth, and even social relations were decreasing. At the other end of the spectrum, there was the amazing opportunity to teach people through this medium because it stimulates life. So I said, okay, well, what's the number one thing we should simulate about what's the number one problem we will fix? The answer to all of that was finance. What was the biggest hurdle in going from a near six-figure job at Prudential to going it alone with the Wealth Factory? Definitely the funding. Originally, I had $100,000 saved up. It was fine at first. At the 18-month mark, I thought I should be in a position to be able to raise money. That's what my accelerator had told me. But at that point, I started to experience the racism and sexism that exist in fundraising. People don't even have a product. Were bringing in 10 times the amount I was. It's been frustrating trying to get to the number I think I should garner, given my accomplishments. What are some of the strategies you've implemented to grow your business? When seeking investors, I employ what I call a cyclone effect. It's in-your-face marketing. I want to be in every single place that you are, see, and touch. I'm going to figure out where you go, where you hang, where you like to eat. I get to know your entire inner circle until I find a place to get closer. I'm going to put advertisements in places where I know you will see it. I'm going to attend and try to speak at events I know you'll attend. And then the final question that Essence had for her was, what's been the most rewarding part of being CEO of your own company? Being recognized as an innovator. That has been a goal of mine since I was 3 years old. This year, I actually made the most influential people of African descent under 40 list. Assisting others has also been rewarding. I've helped put some folks through college this year. It's amazing. So on to our next article. The storyteller. Louise Bernard has such a nuanced worldview and vision. It's not surprising that the Obamas have placed their legacy in her capable hands. Louise Bernard is no stranger to delving into the intricacies of Black life to craft a compelling narrative. She's been called a luminary in the African American museum world by the Chicago Tribune and has imbued spaces with subtle yet captivating touches to offer some of the most comprehensive accounts of our history from pre-Middle Passage to post-Obama presidency. She masterfully pieces together the different experiences to form a complete, thoroughly satisfying picture. Bernard has continued this practice throughout her career. She was a member of the group that helped map the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C. Afterward, she became a content developer and advisor to the International African American Museum in Charleston, South Carolina. And right before she got the call to bring former President Barack Obama, and First Lady Michelle Obama's story to life in Chicago. Bernard was slaying it in her dream job as the director of exhibitions at the New York Public Library. Still, the 46-year-old from Northern England is earnestly humble, and her latest position as the director of the Museum of the Obama Presidential Center. So last October, during a breakout session at the first ever Obama Foundation Summit, she took nearly a fourth of her allotted time just to highlight and praise key players, including the design team at Ralph Applebaum Associates, before delving into the plans for the center. Her mellow yet direct delivery commanded the attention of everyone in the room. Bernard can expertly relay the tale of Barack Obama's ascendance and his connection to the South Side, and how this new space is to be one of the reflection, like most presidential libraries, and one that also celebrates the people of Chicago, says Bernard. It's the place where President Obama really found his footing, his sense of self, his sense of broader family and community. So I think it's fair to say Chicago is perhaps one of the very few places, if not the only place, where his story could have happened. And I think that is very much attached to his belief that while his story is, of course, singular and inspiring for many people, he always sees his story as being attached to those on whose shoulders he has stood, on whose shoulders we all stand. Bernard and the Obamas working together seems like kismet. Her humility and dedication mirror theirs, and she appreciates their faith in her. They were willing to hire someone who had not managed a museum before, and I think that comes out of the Obama way of seeing the world, she explains, referencing how the couple put enthusiasm, hard work, and commitment before tenure and experience. But Menard's extensive educational background no doubt was a major factor. The daughter of a Jamaican father and an English mother who studied African-American film and theater as a drama major at Britain's University of Manchester. She later came to the States to obtain a master's degree in theater history and English at Indiana University, Bloomington. At Yale, she earned a joint PhD in African American and American studies. Yale opened up the world to me, she says, the importance of the African diaspora, the incredible richness of the history of the culture, of the way in which this particular country has been entirely shaped by Black culture and by the labor of Black people. And we see that globally. It's a global phenomenon. The title of director, the person tasked with recounting the historical significance of the Obama administration and the work of Michelle Obama through permanent exhibits and a platform for civic engagement, is not lost on Bernard. Her moves up the ladder didn't come without a willingness to step into power, particularly as a woman of color. I've been open to sometimes making a leap of faith. That's what I would share with other young women, especially women of color, who may feel constrained by all the issues of race, racism, and caste politics. I'm not oblivious to those pressures, she says. Still, she insists that the multi-million dollar undertaking takes a community, a design, and an execution ecosystem. I like to think of myself as still being very much a part of a team, she says, a big team, a big collective endeavor. And that was good. So let's move on to the love and life section, breakthrough. So grab your good life. At age 51, global coach Lisa Nichols is in her prime. Here she shares her strategy for joy. So over the course of nearly two decades, Lisa Nichols has guided more than 670,000 students in their life and career choices through her training programs. Workshops generated more than $42 million with her publicly traded company, motivating the masses, and reached 78 million people worldwide with her content. She has taught classes and given lectures in many countries, including Kazakhstan, Ireland, Hungary, Spain, South Africa, Australia, and Greece. And she is a best-selling author and co-author of several books, including No Matter What, Chicken Soup for the African-American Women's Soul, and her latest, Abundance Now. But all of this was just a lead up to these past 2 years of Nichols being most peaceful, successful, and sexiest self on the other side of 50. So here's her formula for every woman to get to her very best, no matter age. Number one, break the suffering cycle. When we look at our heritage, our plight, we can see the strength it took for us to make it through. But I think we've adopted the mindset that suffering is necessary. Early in my career as a keynote speaker, I would stay in the executive suite at resorts. I would often look out my window at the people on the beach, but I couldn't muster up the courage to put on my bathing suit and go outside. I thought I was cheating, that I was violating something I did. If I did that, that's a martyr mentality. We don't get extra points in heaven for depriving ourselves. We are free to be free. Number two, give yourself permission to be big. Our culture is built on family, faith, and community. The challenge is handling our success. When we start doing better than the village, we might unconsciously begin to question our commitment to our people. So almost a decade ago, I had made $975,000 by October, then took the rest of the year off. I thought it was because I was tired. It was actually because I was afraid to make $1 million in 1 year. I think, what kind of Black woman would I be? Am I selling out? That was huge for me. All this time while I was pursuing financial prosperity, I never thought I would be scared of it. I wasn't afraid of the money. I was afraid of the cultural implication. I began to think about the black women who came before me. Harriet Tubman, Shirley Chisholm, Ida B. Wells, and more. They demonstrated resilience and beat the odds. I realize that I'm supposed to show another example. Every time I make it just about me, I shrink. But when I make it about being a model and a vessel, I rise above where I would normally stop. Number three, grade yourself. Your life is like a body. You can't take care of just your chest and your arms. You also need to tend to your lungs and legs. I stopped counting individual successes. For example, if you get an A in math but a D in English, you don't have an A average. I began to grade all the areas of my life and call myself out. The first step was to take a sobering look at the average of my journey and to own it. I've taken responsibility for my rationalizations. The more brilliant you are, the more danger you can put yourself in by making excuses. Number four, keep moving with fear. I don't know anyone playing big in the world who is fearless. We may not talk about it, but I would be a liar if I told you I didn't have fears. I have just learned how to embrace them and push forward, saying, this one is for my sister friends. This one is for my ancestors. This one is for my child. This one is for me. This for the me who's being born still, my 2020 self. This is for her. Number five, walk through your pain. When I lost 90 pounds 3 years ago, I was like a timid cat that hadn't seen light in a while. Before then, you couldn't talk about weight and body with me. It was too sore of a topic. I decided to walk through the pain to get to the possibility on the other side. I asked God, what do I need to do to fulfill my purpose? The only answer I got in my prayer time was, get your body right. Your body is the instrument through which you live your purpose. It's not an optional piece of puzzle. Working on myself has been the most personal, painful, beautiful, sobering, vulnerable experience I've endured. Snatching back my sexy has been one of my biggest breakthroughs acts of self-love in the past 15 years. Embracing sexy from a space of birthright was new. Carry your lifestyle. If Nichols is on the road for more than 2 days, she packs her music, her candles and matches, a small yoga mat, and a blender and protein shakes. So it looks like that we've actually run out of time of today's episode of Essence Magazine. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Radio Service. Be sure to listen next time, and I hope that you've enjoyed it. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.